We are going to address today the top four things that are keeping you from owning your first home. This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience. My name is Dick Girard and my co-host is Pat Draw. So let's go over the four things, Pat. The first one is down payment.
It's a big one.
Yep. It is the number one reason that most people think they can't buy their first house.
Yeah, and I think that if you look at it, I mean, it makes sense because you think that you have to come up with all this money. So, I mean, there's probably 10 different layers to the thought process for those out there thinking about buying a house, going, I can't get a down payment. Part of it's this, right? Part of it's coming up with the money. A lot of people think they have to have 20% down, and that's just not true. As a first-time home buyer, the actual programs themselves will go as little as 3% of your purchase price as a down payment. 3 to 3.5 is kind of your first time home buyer programs. So if you think about what that means in terms of dollars, at least in the Denver market, the average home price, let's just say $400,000, and maybe it's a little bit high, but the numbers are easy. That's $12,000, right? So it's not 20%. It's $12,000 will get you into a home. And with, you know, that's not even the whole thing, because the other part of it's this, is that really you only need a minimum of about $1,000 down to truly get in a house. Now, all situations are different, but I think in the down payment, the one thing that a lot of people don't understand, that there are programs out there that will help them come up with a down payment. There's grants, there's gifts, that type of thing, and there's a lot of creative ways to make the loan work for people that where you don't have to even have that $12,000 number if you're going to go out and buy a house. Now, we're not sitting there saying you don't need to have any money in your bank. We're not sitting there saying that it's so easy that, you know, you don't even have to have any cash flow, because it's still important and smart to have some money to be able to buy your first home, but you don't need to save $30,000 or $40,000 to go in and buy a house. When in reality, what we see quite often, actually, when we're dealing with first-time home buyers, you could probably get in your house for a lot cheaper than what you will if you go re-rent another place, be it a house or an apartment. Between your first month's rent, your security deposit, and your last month's rent, or whatever they're going to charge you up front, you generally are going to get into a house cheaper than you're going to be able to do that.
Right, right. And it's amazing to me how many people out there still believe you need 20% down. I mean, I heard it on the news the other day that you need 20% down to buy a house. And it's just amazing being in this business and knowing the different programs. We kind of assume sometimes that everybody knows that, but that's one reason we're here, is to put this message out that you don't have to have that much money to get you in a house.
Right. Not even close.
Yeah. And that's something we're not telling you, everybody, to buy a house either. But if you are wanting to buy a house and needing to buy a house, you don't need to have 20% down in this market. You know, 3% down is definitely sufficient. And like Pat said, we got all the down payment assistance programs to help you even with that 3%. And there's also gifts that you can get from your, you know, from family members and that type of thing. So there's a lot of different ways to get that down payment that we can definitely help you out with. But that is definitely the number one reason that people are sitting on the sidelines. And there are people that could have bought 3 years ago that have wasted a lot of this appreciation that we've had in the last 3 years because Absolutely. They thought they had to have a down payment.
Well, when you say wasting appreciation, and this is a topic for a whole other video, but we'll say it here because it makes sense. That means you missed out on building wealth.
Right.
And what you did, it's not like you paid any more. You were probably renting something that was very close to the same payment you would make on your new house, but instead you came out with nothing, where you could have had $20,000, $30,000 in true equity, which is wealth building at its finest.
Right. Well, and we all need somewhere to live, right? So you're going to live somewhere. You're going to either pay somebody to rent that place, or you're going to pay somebody to buy that place. So, and we will definitely, and I'll tell you what, right now we'll even offer this out. If you text the word rent to 720-650-6440, we will send you a buy versus rent analysis that will show you a 9-year plan on renting versus owning, and it'll go year by year and show you what we mean by, you know, giving away that wealth. Because it's the numbers are just staggering on, you know, how much wealth you can build in 9, 10, 15 years. It's just amazing. And people are not not really grasping that they're throwing away not just the rent, but the appreciation and all that that comes with it. So there's a tremendous wealth building component to owning a house, for sure. The next one is, the next biggest myth is that you can't qualify for a mortgage. So let's talk about that a little bit. There are definitely a lot of programs for first-time home buyers and for not first-time home buyers, but everybody thinks that it's very difficult to get a mortgage. Well, we can go to a pretty low credit score, and we can go to a pretty high debt-to-income ratio right now to really have a lot of people qualify that don't think they can.
Well, and yeah, so I mean, I've talked to, this is funny because I've had this conversation a dozen times in the last 2 months. Talked to a lot of first-time home buyers, and a lot of them thought they had to have like this 700 plus credit score, yep, just to qualify, and that's the farthest from the truth. Believe it or not, we could actually go down to 580 on a credit score. Now, what we would probably do just to make things more palatable for you is probably work on getting your score up to at least a 620 or better, but we can do it down to 580, which is pretty low. Yep. But you know, obviously the better your credit score, the more advantageous it is. So there's some things that we would do, but I mean, we can certainly go down low in terms of credit score and get people qualified for their own home. And it's, so there's definitely, the barriers there are nowhere near what I think the common perception out there is. Matter of fact, the one guy, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something along the lines of, oh man, my credit's really not that good, so I can't buy a house. And through conversation, his credit was fine. He never missed a payment in his life. He just only had like one credit card, and his score was like 650. Man, once I said, no, you can get a house, here's what you're going to do, boom, he was off of the races, found a house within 2 weeks, and boom, closed a month later, and he was as happy as could be. But it was that simple. And the whole time he had been sitting out and renting, and his comment to the agent, who happened to be like a friend of a friend, and they were talking at a party or whatever, his comment is, oh, I'd love to buy a house, my credit's not that good. And I think their comment was basically like, well, you know, let us be the judge of it. Talk to Pat and see what you can find out from him. And, you know, at least he can put you on the right track. Well, the right track was almost immediate. Yeah. Within 3 weeks of that conversation, he was under contract and ready to go. Couldn't be happier. Crazy stuff.
I've had three or four people in the last 2 months, since December, that have, you know, the agents and I've talked to, and they didn't think that they could qualify. Well, we're not going to be able to buy till next year. They're all in houses already, you know, because they could qualify, and they qualified for way more house than they thought they could. And when they looked at their mortgage payment versus their rent, it was almost identical. And right. They were able to buy houses, and they really truly didn't believe they could. They didn't think that they could qualify, and they all did, and they're all in houses now, and they're all, yep, super happy. And that's what we want to do for you. If you don't think you can qualify, call us up. You know, you can call us up. The other thing that you can do, if you want to see what you really qualify for, you can text the word apply to 720-650-6440, and we will send you a quick application. You can fill that out real quick, and we will tell you, there's no obligation, no fee for that. We will tell you what you qualify for, and then you can start making those determinations. Is it smarter to rent or buy? We can start really having that conversation to see what you qualify for, because a lot of people out there don't believe they can qualify, but they really can. And you're just throwing money away when you're throwing that money towards rent instead of towards owning a house.
Yeah, don't miss out on the opportunity to build wealth. It's a big deal. And you know, and honestly, one of the things I think you should do, part of our entire channel, the whole reason we have this, the podcast slash the videos that we do is because we want to help people understand what owning a home, not only what it is and what it takes, but also the power and the magic of what owning a home can do for you over the long term. I mean, I have countless success stories over my 27 years in this business of people who have just, you know, saved tons and tons and tons of money simply by owning a home and really not doing anything else. Like, if I'm talking to you from a financial planner's perspective, I'm trying to get you to give up paying something to put money towards saving, right? I'm going, well, you got to cut back on going out. You're going out to eat here has got to be brought down. You need to do this and, you know, do different things where you can stash away extra money. Whereas on what we're talking about, we're not talking about paying the extra money.
Right.
We're talking about, in a nutshell, we're talking about doing the thing that you're going to do anyways, and you're going to be paying rent on a house or an apartment or whatever. So take that rent, put it into a house, and guess what? Instead of paying somebody else's mortgage, pay your own. That's crazy talk to think that you could pay somebody else $1,500 or $2,000 a month to live there temporarily and give them total control of you and then not get anything out of it in the end. You just walk away and there goes your $24,000 that you paid the last 12 months. Whereas if you own a home, you're going to be able to build wealth through paying down the balance of your mortgage, those same exact payments, as well as building equity as the market increases in value. Two very powerful things.
So let's just explain that a little bit better too, that I don't think a lot of, especially people that don't own houses now, understand how a mortgage payment works. So your full mortgage payment, like your rent, that goes to your full rent. Let's just say it's $2,000 just to make it easy math. Your $2,000 goes towards rent, right? It doesn't go towards anything else. It goes into the landlord's pocket and you get to stay there for, you know, a month, right? With your mortgage payment, it's broken up into different things. So you're paying principal on your loan, you're paying interest on your loan, and you're paying some taxes and insurance, right? So it breaks down. It's not all going toward nothing. You know, you're actually paying your loan down every single month. And that, so some examples in 2008, when it was the kind of top of the market, you know, and everything kind of went down, if you bought even at the very, very top of a terrible market and your house price went down a little bit right after you bought, since you paying that thing down, your amortization and you're paying that down, your payment down every month, even with not very much appreciation, you're still going to be better off in, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. All those people that bought back in 2008, their houses are all worth more. Doesn't matter where in the country you are, with appreciation and with amortization, your real estate is worth more now than it was back then. And if right. you're throwing that money away on rent, you've got nothing at the end of that 10 years, you know? So it's something right. that you really have to understand how that breaks down. And we'll be happy to go over that a little more with your situation on where you will be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if you do buy versus renting. But right. I think it's very important to understand how that mortgage payment works. It's not all interest that you're paying. You're actually paying your mortgage down every single month. So after 2, 3, 4 years, you've got more value in your house than even what your down payment was.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's a big one. There's a lot of big ones just on that one alone.
Yep. We could talk about that a lot, but let's go on to the next thing. And it kind of goes on what we've been talking about. It's cheaper to rent than it is to buy.
Right. Now, I mean, like I said, kind of, because we're so passionate about this, really moved into this one with what we finished on the last one, but that is truly a myth. It's not cheaper to rent than buy. Now, granted, if you're trying to compare, you know, your ultimate dream home to the apartment you're renting, then those are probably going to be two different things. Right. However, when you compare apples to apples, you know, what it takes to rent, you know, a three-bedroom apartment with, you know, two baths or whatever compared to a three-bedroom, two-bath home or condo or townhome, I mean, I think there's a lot of equalness in terms of what you can expect to pay. And in some cases, really depending upon the situation, there's a lot of the first-time home buyers I've worked with that actually come in better, especially in the Denver market. you know, to get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house to rent is going to be $2,500. And a lot of times you're well under that when you're buying it. So it really just depends on the situation. But the fact that a lot of people are sitting back thinking, oh, it's just so much cheaper to rent, that's an absolute fallacy and probably not anywhere near the truth unless you're comparing renting a 1-bedroom, 1-bath apartment to buying a 12,000 square foot house. Yes, there are differences there. But in terms of dollar for dollar, you know, apple to apple comparisons, it's really probably somewhere between the same to even less to buy a house than it is to rent that.
And it goes, and for the reasons of what we just went over, you know, you're not just paying everything, you know, the $2,500 is going towards different things. It's going towards paying your mortgage down. So you're actually, you know, building wealth every time, and that appreciation too. So that asset that you have is gaining in value every year, right? And, yep. You know, historically, it's over 5% every year that thing is going up. And then you're paying your loan down every year. So you are really gaining, you know, 5 to 10%. And it's just amazing the difference that you have. And yep. It's not cheap. Even if you're right on the same, your rent is a little cheaper, it really is more advantageous to buy because you're not throwing that money away to just nothing. It's going to pay that loan down, and you're getting the appreciation of owning that that asset.
Yep.
So the next thing is it's more convenient to rent versus buy.
I think that's like personal perspective, Dick, to be honest with you, because it depends. Like, I think in terms of me, like I said, my perspective, I think it's the exact opposite. It's way less convenient to rent because in a lot of situations, you're having to continuously move, you know, year to year, or at best case scenario, every other year, which that's miserable. I hate moving. So I don't want to do that. You can't do anything to the place you live in because it's not only can't you wouldn't want to. I mean, you don't want to modify and approve a place that's not yours. That's crazy because I like to do things different. You know, I like to update paint and colors and doors and handles and stuff like that. So there's nothing convenient about that. I don't have anybody telling me what I can and can't do to the place. No, you can't have a dog. You better go out and find that ugly dog that's, you know, you don't like is the one that you really want's too big or whatever it is. I don't want that either. You don't like that. You don't want, you know, whatever it is. I mean, who knows, when you're a landlord and you're signing a lease, there's a lot of stipulations in those leases that are telling you what you can and can't do. And my point is that I don't want to be told that, you know. And then the other piece to the whole thing, which more than anything else I think that rings true with me, is the fact that I see so many times the first-time home buyers that I'm working with, they're moving because their rent has been increased every single year. Like, I do have a few that have rented the same place for 2 or 3 years, but every year it's gone up by 10 or 15%. Right. And if you own your own home, your house, your payment's not going up, assuming that you choose a 30-year fixed payment, which mostly everybody is right now.
Right.
You know, but the point is that I don't want to dictate that. I don't want that to be dictated to me. You know, you're kind of cruising right along. Yeah, pretty good. I'm going to sign a new lease this year with this guy. The next thing he goes, hey, Pat, we're going to sign the new lease, but here's the good news for me. Your payment's going up. I'm going to bump the lease by 150 or 250 bucks a month. Right. Well, in a lot of cases, that's a lot of your disposable income. You know, that's some of your fun money to go out and enjoy your life and stuff like that, because quite frankly, life is expensive, right? So I don't want that dictated to me. So I think the convenience is the opposite. It's inconvenient as all get out to rent compared to owning it and having all the control, where at least I know what's going on.
Well, here's an example of being inconvenient. I have a client who is renting, and the landlords decided to sell the house. So what do you do? You have no choice but to go especially if you have a family, if you have kids and that, now you're taking your kids into, you know, a different place. You are forced to move where you might not want to move, you know? So I think that what you said, locking in your payment, your rent every year is going up in this town. You know, there has been a long time since rents have gone down, you know, right. And it might level off a little bit, you know, but they're not going to go down tremendously. right? So they're going to keep going up, and that could price you, you know, people are, oh, I can't afford these house prices and they're just so expensive. And well, at least you can lock it in. You know, if you're renting, you might be downgrading every year because of what you can afford, right? So exactly. It's very important to understand that if you buy a place, you're really locking that payment in for a long, long, long time. You know, interest rates go up, everything goes up, your house price goes up. None of that will affect your payment, you know? Yep. So your payment is locked in. If all that stuff happens and you're renting, you're going to be renting, you're going to be paying more and more every year. So it's really important to understand. And I'm with you on the, you know, knowing where you can have a pet, whether you can't, you know, all that type of thing, changing the landscaping, changing the indoors. You're paying somebody else's mortgage when you're renting and they're telling you what you can and can't do. You know, right. Why would you do both? You know,
that's exactly it.
And get you into a place where you can determine those things. You can have that stability and you can know, and you can still have a little bit of mobility. I mean, houses sell very quickly in this market, you know, so 2, 3, 4 years from now, if you want to move, you can, you know, you can sell that place and move somewhere else, you know, so you still have the ability to move around, but you're building that wealth. You know, we just keep going back to that. You're building wealth every year. And that's one of the most important things. But if you decide to stay there for 10, 15 years, you're locking in that payment. And all you have to do is make enough to be able to make that payment and you're in good shape.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, I mean, I think the number one thing people can learn out of what we're talking about today is that owning a home is a lot easier than what people anticipate. And we just addressed the four top things that are really in multiple studies holding people back from buying their first house. And I think that those things are, they're more myths, right? It's more perception based on reality, because the reality is there's help at every one of those four pieces.
Right.
From the down payment to qualifying to cheaper to rent than to buy, and then also the convenience. You know, so I think that there's a lot of things that people can think about, and hopefully, by all means, when you look at those four pieces to the puzzle, what it all really boils down to, Dick, is not wasting your money. You know, let's talk about and end with this. Like we've said, and really the focus of what we're driving here with our entire program or channel, be it our podcast, be it the things we are doing on Facebook or whatever, it's all about your ability to build wealth through homeownership. It's the most feasible way to do it without having to spend money, right? And again, people are always going to argue the market's up and down. So is the stock market. So is everything. You're not going in and buying your first home simply for the fact of making money off of it. Number one, you have to have a roof over your head, right? So you have to have a roof over your head. You're going to pay rent or a mortgage somewhere to somebody, whether it's your mortgage or somebody else's, it doesn't matter. So the idea is pay it to yourself, build wealth through what you're going to have to do anyways, and then watch it accumulate over time.
That's right.
Exactly what it is.
And just remember, you don't need that much of a down payment. We will, you know, we'll be happy to help you and give you some options on different down payments, you know, lower down payments and higher down payments, down payment assistance, all of that. You know, you probably can qualify for a mortgage, you know, and it's not necessarily cheaper to rent than it is to buy. So,
right.
And we went through the convenience stuff. So those four things are not, they shouldn't be holding you back. Now, there might be other reasons where you don't want to buy a house, and that's perfectly fine. But these are the reasons that a lot of people are not buying right now, and those are not good reasons. You know, let us know. Please, you know, text the word rent to 720-650-6440. We'll send you that buy versus rent analysis and show you how you can build wealth by owning a house. And if you want to find out how much you qualify for, text apply to 720-650-6440. And we will send you a quick loan application you can do online. And we can tell you exactly what you qualify for. And just then we can really get into that discussion on should you buy a house right now and what you can afford, and is it smarter to buy than rent.
Exactly.
We'll just end on that and visit us at www.coloradorealestateexperience.com. That will bring you to, you can see that on Facebook, on YouTube. There's all kinds of different things that we have on our different channels, and we'd be happy to give you all our advice that we can to make sure that you're making the right decision.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you guys.
All right.
And have a great day.